This is from the Bread of Life chapter of the Bible, John chapter 6. And it follows the feeding of the 5,000 men plus women and children. Starting at verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he has given me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So the Jews grumbled about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? And does he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not grumble among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except he who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Please be seated. Okay, so how many times do you get hungry? A lot? How many of you get grumpy when you get hungry? How many of you get hard to deal with when you're hungry and grumpy? Yeah, you know, I've seen a pastor before texting during a service, you know, and I thought, man, I'd never do that. And this morning I had to hurry up and get permission from my wife. So right before the sermon I sent out a text. So, you know, you can text every once in a while, but it better be for a real good purpose. And she gave me permission to share this, but what's it called when you're hungry and grumpy and hard to deal with? Hangry. Hangry. When I was a little kid, my dad would say to my mom, this is like family folklore. Rolofsons have all kinds of stories. I've told my kids all kinds of stories, and I'm now telling them stories about them when they were younger. But my dad would say to my mom, "Yeah, you know, I think all we need to do is feed the kids, and they'll be better." And sure enough. So what do you suppose I've said to Karen over the years? Here's the challenge, though. My wife doesn't like to eat breakfast. And that brings about a number of problems. I have permission to share this. And, you know, you got to be careful when your significant other, you know, is, how do you call it? Hangry. Because oftentimes it can just be an invitation to have a great big argument. Well, try this. Let me fix you something. I mean, food's important, right? It's important every once in a while to have a meal for the belly, because we know that if we don't have food, it's hard to do things. After a while, we don't want to do anything, and sometimes we can't think straight. Although if we eat too much, then we can't think straight either because we just want to sleep. But it's important to have food. It's important to have food. Now, as important as physical food is, and all of us are in agreement that food is important for the tummy, spiritual food is important too. I mean, do you know the signs of physical hunger? Do you try to take care of those things before it gets too bad? How about spiritual hunger? What are the signs of spiritual hunger? Fear, anger, resentment, guilt, shame, wanting to blame everybody else? How about not knowing what to do? Is that a kind of spiritual hunger? You know, as important as taking care of physical hunger is, spiritual hunger is important too, and Jesus makes that plain today. You know, we're in the middle of John chapter 6. It's like the bread of life chapter of the Bible. It began with Jesus having compassion on a group of people because they were like sheep without a shepherd. They were like sheep without a pastor. And so we're told that he spent time teaching them, and the disciples started saying, wait a second, it's getting late, they're going to be hungry, they need to be taken care of. And so they start bringing up something that Jesus is not concerned about. He's teaching them, he's feeding them. He is reviving their lives with the truth of God. And they say, no, I better stop and send them away. And then Jesus decides to feed them kind of a humble pie. No, you guys take care of them. Whoa, you got to be kidding me. We're not going to take care of all these people. You know, Andrew does the searching, and Philip does the number crunching. He's the bean counter, and they're both in despair. And Jesus, well, you know the whole story. 5,000 men plus women and children are fed with 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish, and they have leftovers. If there's one thing that's clear in the scriptures, and we heard it in our Old Testament reading, is that God provides. The challenge in your life and my life is we just find that hard to believe. And our secular humanism in our culture has been so effective in training us to take care of ourselves, we still think we've got to do it on our own, even as believers. And yet we're gathered once again by the Lord to be reminded that he's got us covered. He'll take care of us. He knows how important it is for us to be cared for. How many ways in your life has the Lord taken care of you? And yet, how many ways do we find ourselves saying, but, I'm not sure if that's our condition. And yet today, once again, God says, I've got you covered. I'll take care of you. In fact, Jesus wants us to understand and believe in the good news that he is the bread of life. You know, it's fascinating. So he feeds them, they're filled, he goes, they follow him, because he took care of their temporal needs. Let's make him our king. They want someone who can provide for them. And so they chase after him. But Jesus wants them to understand more than just that he's able to take care of the physical needs. And so he lays out most sincerely about the importance of believing him and having everlasting life. And that those who believe in him will never hunger or thirst. It's interesting how they're gripped by him and they say, evermore give us that bread. And so Jesus, that's what he's doing in John chapter 6. The rest of it, it's all about telling the truth about who he is and how belief in him, trusting in him, will satisfy them no matter what happens in their life, come what may. But now they're starting to have a problem. Don't we know who this guy is? Can he really do that? Is he really from there? I mean, Jesus is sincerely giving them the truth, and they're thinking he's crazy. And he wants them to believe. He's drawing them to understand. But they're struggling with it. They're struggling with it. Dare I say, they're starving. And they're happy with it. It's okay to be thirsty, because obviously he can't quench that. Obviously he cannot satisfy that. And it's for that very thing Jesus came to do. He's the dish and the only dish that can satisfy across the spectrum of our challenges. And how many different ways do you and I have challenges in our lives where spiritual thirst and hunger are present? Good heavens. I mean, some of you probably are saying, I wish there was just one, but there's a whole dozen of them, and maybe 2 dozen of them. I'm thinking about my mom a lot lately. She's been living in the same house for like 56 years. I think it's coming to an end pretty quick. Fell, broke her hip, has a hip replacement. They're amazed at what she's doing. But it's not just about the physical. It's about trusting in the Lord. And it's about understanding that things change. And that 57 years or 56 years, I'm almost 57, 56 years means that things come to an end in a place. And there's new adventures and new horizons. But how many ways do we find ourselves stuck saying, no, 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 I like the old diet, even though we're starving because we're not really trusting in the Lord? How many ways do I fail to have a snack when I'm facing an issue during the day? And instead of dining on the truth, I try to figure it out on my own or go to Google. Jesus wants us to trust in Him. He says, "For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in Him should have everlasting life. And I will raise him up on the last day." You know, that's a big deal. And if that's what he can do in death and forever, he's got everything else taken care of. He can care for us. You know, he brings up the story of Moses in the Old Testament when God delivered his people from the land of sin and slavery and death. God gave them all kinds of promises, and then, you know, they would just complain and moan and groan about it, and then God provided food, manna, which literally means, what's this? You ever make a real good meal, and everyone says, what's this? And yet God provided for them. And of course, Jesus makes it a point that everyone ate the manna, but they died. God would not let the people delivered from the land of sin and death and slavery enter the promised land because they did not believe him. It's an 11-day journey from where they were enslaved to the promised land, and it took them 40 years. 11-day journey, and it took them 40 years because of their spiritual hunger and their spiritual thirst and their refusal to be filled with Christ. And so it's pretty sobering what Jesus says to them. And for us, we say, Lord, I want to believe in you. I want to trust in you. I mean, we know the rest of the story. He went on, and he went the way of the cross. Earlier in John's gospel, Jesus says, when the Son of Man is lifted up, all men will be brought and drawn to him. And that's what the cross of Christ does. In the good news of forgiveness and God's unconditional love for you, you and I are being drawn to Him. And we know there's a place where we can be taken care of. And while we do all of our due diligence, doing our faithful stuff, we're trusting in the One who will bring us through whatever it is that's going on in our life. I don't know how many times as a pastor I've witnessed that in the lives of people, and I always try to thank them for their confession of faith. Because it's wonderful to see that. That knowledge given by God to a sinner that focuses them on the bread of life. And they know that that's where they can turn to be fed whenever they need to be fed. I mean, now, my mom has been so used to living on her own and taking care of everything on her own. I'm saying it's time for you, Mom, to trust. I trust in Jesus. Okay, well, trust in Jesus when you're applying it to the pain that you have and your refusal to do your exercises and all the other things. I mean, how many ways do you and I need to, in real time, keep applying the bread of life to whatever we're dealing with? That's what faith does. That's what the Lord wants us to do. You can snack on Jesus anytime you need to. And He's the one, He's the only dish that satisfies across whatever you and I face. How many ways during this week will you and I need to just say, I need to stop because I'm spiritually hungry and thirsty. I'm trying to do this on my own again, Lord, and I just need the bread of life. Just stop and trust in the Lord. Apply it to whatever you're dealing with. When I was a mechanic, I used to stop and I'd walk around the truck and I would just think, okay, I got to stop, Lord. I got to stop. I don't know how many ways I've done that in marriage and parenting and dealing with siblings and dealing and caring for the people in my life, including you. But that's what it's about when we recognize our spiritual hunger and thirst. And in the satisfaction of receiving and being blessed by Jesus, we can give it all we have in his strength. Still a lot of things you got to do, but we do it being fed and not operating from a position of hangry. Okay, let's try it. So hungry physically, hungry spiritually, what kind of a word can we make up and maybe it'll get so popular they'll put it in the dictionary? Let's see. Anybody? Spiritually hungry, spiritually, or physically hungry. If we're hangry, we're spangry, or if we're spiritually hungry, angry, spiritually hungry, confused. How many different ways can we put words together? Because that's the truth. And that can become a part of our confession. Lord, I'm spangry. Spiritually hungry and physically angry. How do you sign? When you put P and G together, it's kind of. So I don't know. Anyway, back to the sermon. Just admit it. Lord, I'm a mess. I'm spiritually exhausted. I'm physically hungry. No one's really helping me around here. I'm stranded. And you're the bread of life, and you're the only one that can show up and help me. I mean, that's really what Jesus is saying here about the truth of being the bread of life. He's also acknowledging that they're not getting it because they're going to be satisfied with their spiritual hunger and spiritual thirst. Know some Lutherans like that? Know some fellow Christians like that? Then try to share with them a meal. The forgiveness and love of Jesus that alone satisfies. And that's not my promise. That's Jesus' promise. How did he say it? I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he gives me, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And then we heard in verse 35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. How many ways, brothers and sisters in Christ, do we get hungry and thirsty? Go to Jesus. I mean, his promise is so bold. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Apply that to the next thing that makes your belly grumble and your spirit grumble as well. Spiritual grumbling, physical grumbling. Spagumbia. Well, work on it. Maybe I'll think of something, you know, later on today or this new week. But this is the truth. You are what you eat. So as we feast on him, the bread of life, in the scripture, in the songs, in the sermon, in sharing with one another, in our godly sharing, we are what we eat. We're forgiven. We're loved. We're renewed. We're empowered. We're the ones that point others to the bread of life, understanding that you are what you eat. In the name of Jesus, amen. Now may the peace of God, the peace that goes beyond all that you understand and I understand, may that peace from God guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.